condition. A bit personal, actually. But she was in a lot of pain continually. And she was taking painkillers from the doctors in the morning, opiate-based, so I think they were knocking her out, scoring speed off the local drug dealer in the community in the afternoon so that she could get through the day in terms of not just be like a zombie all day. She was a cleaner in the local nursing home. One of the girls from our church knew her because she was working in the nursing home as well. Got in touch with Claire after about 6 weeks, says, can I come and pray for you and visit you? She says, sure, come round. So she came round, went up to her bedroom where she'd been knocked out for weeks and weeks, not getting out of bed. And she prayed for her, and all the pain immediately disappeared and she got healed. All her energy returned. She came downstairs in the front room. At this point, Jason, and that's her husband, and daughter returned from jogging. Now, Jason is a lovely man. He loves football, but he can't play anymore because he's got a lifetime ban for violence on the football pitch. He's got sort of tattoos on his tattoos and scars on his scars. And another hobby of his is road rage. In other words, if you cut him up in the car, he will chase after you in his car, stop you, take you out of the car, and beat the living daylights out of you. This is the type of lovely man Jason is, or was. He comes home jogging, does weightlifting, workout, big fella, comes home, walks into the front room, looks at his wife, and he says these words, and he's sharing this at his baptism. He says these words, what's happened to you, love? You look radiant. And she says, I've been healed, Jason. And then he says, in his mind, this is what he says at baptism, his immediate thought was this, oh no, there is a God. So he comes to church the following week with his healed wife, and that, at the end of the service, I go to the back of the service, sit next to him on one of our blue chairs, tell him the gospel about Jesus Christ, and he gives his life to Jesus. He comes back the following week and says, Julian, I knew my life had changed that morning after praying that prayer. Because I drove out of the car park of the church and somebody cut me up in the road. And I said, oh no, you silly Billy. That is a great story. But it's really true. And I want to talk about touching lives by the power of God. There is a connection between unchurched people and healing. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sick. Everybody was sick. Paul says this, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit, so from Jerusalem all the way to Ilkerum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Do you see that? I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. How has he fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ? He has fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ through the words that he says and the wonders that he performs. And without a gospel that is proclaimed in miracles that confirm the word and gospel that imparts faith and conviction and the power to repent and believe in Jesus, we have not fully proclaimed the gospel. The scriptures say that Paul and Barnabas went healing and God confirmed their message through signs and wonders and miracles. That's the theology. I'm going to trust, for the sake of time, you haven't got a big problem with it. If you do, ask your elders. Okay, so this is the practical and how to do it. Anybody can do this stuff. The first thing is, get it out of the meeting. Where are the non-church people? Well, they're not in the meeting, are they? Get it out of the meeting, in Tesco's with your work colleagues, in the office. Danielle, who was our secretary at one time, before she came to be a secretary with us, she was temping in a local firm, and she was doing the typing, she got in the conversation with a lady, she was an atheist, and she wasn't getting anywhere with her conversation because she just didn't believe in God. One day, she walks into the staff room, and this lady is bent double because she has continual pain within her in her back. And so Danielle, knowing that, you know, this stuff is for non-Christians, goes up to her and says, would you like me to pray for you? And this atheist says, yes, I often find that. And so Daniel is just about to pray for this atheist, and one of the other colleagues from the office walk room and says, "What are you doing being prayed for? I thought you were an atheist." And she turned around and says, "I'm in so much pain, I'll try anything." People do. They were in so much pain, they'll try anything. So Daniel prays for her, and she gets healed. I love this story. Blod was in our camera club. She's an elderly lady. This is why I love the story about Blod. I mean, she's so old, you really don't think she should get healed. I know you laugh at that, but to my shame, I used to think that. That somebody who was older would come to me and I said, "Well, really, love, you know, we all got to die sometime." That's my pastoral heart coming out. Yeah? No, I know you're laughing. But it was true. That's the way I used to think. It was a shadow of doubt that used to come across my mind. So, well, you know, if you're fit and 40, okay, but what about if you're 80? And Blod is in that age. So she's a senior citizen. She used to come to our camera club to learn how to take a digital photograph, put them onto her computer so she could email to her friends and children around the world. One day she's walking past the church, hears the singing, walks in. And after the meeting, when everyone's having a cup of tea, we end up in conversation, and we discover that her hand is swollen, she's in chronic pain, she's in pain all of the time, she has to wear a contraption at night to stop her hand becoming gnarled up with the arthritis. She loves cooking, she can't cook, she used to knit, she can't knit, do anything like that. So we pray for her on the steps of the church. The hand immediately went down, the swelling immediately removed, and all the pain went. She went home, put the telly on, and she said, "I need to get the electrician out," because it was so loud. What we didn't realise, that she'd been deaf since a little child and been wearing an earring aid since that time. She also got healed of her hearing. She doesn't wear a hearing aid anymore. So then she comes back to church, and of course she gets saved, becomes a Christian. John, his wife, says to us, 2 weeks before he gets healed, "It will only take a miracle to save my husband. He was so anti-church." Two things happened to him. One, he had a heart condition, and we prayed for the heart condition, and the pain went immediately. Secondly, he had been hit by a Ford truck in an industrial accident. He'd had numerous operations, taking very, very strong painkillers, even a series of injections, so that you can only take a short period, a certain amount of those, and had to wear these heavy belts. It would take him 20 minutes to get off a chair or get out of bed in the morning. He'd also had compensation for his pain and his accident. He's in the car park, says, "Lord Jesus, heal me." He gets immediately and totally healed. This man is, he was 62 when this happened. I mean, he couldn't stand up for 20 minutes beforehand. He was in chronic pain. He had vertebrae and disc problems. I mean, terrible situation, totally healed. So he gets baptized. At his baptism, we got him filmed, should have brought it with me. He puts chairs out, he jumps over these chairs. He does press ups, all sorts of things. Remarkable healing. So we see a whole load of people getting healed, but the key is, it's non-church people, there's a special connection with it, and I would encourage you to do it with the office, do it in Tesco's. As often I'm walking in Tesco's or something like that, and I'll see somebody walking with a limp, and I said, "Oh, that looks painful." And they love to talk about their problems. They love to tell you how sick they are. And I say, "Well, how long's that been hurting?" "Oh, I've had this for like 3 years. "Oh, it must be really nasty. You on medication?" "Yeah, I'm on medication all the time." "You on painkillers now?" "Yeah, I'm on painkillers." "Does it hurt right now?" "Yeah, it really hurts, and it hurts all the time." I said, "Well, you know what? In our church, we pray for people who are in pain like that, and we've seen so many people healed of their pain just like that. Would you like me to pray for you now?" And it's in Tesco's, or it's in the cafe, or it's whenever. If I went to take my wife's car to get fixed, and he was a Sikh, he was, because the garage owner, and he was filling out the form at the back of the reception desk, you know, for my bill. And I said, "Why are you sitting down on this armchair?" And he said, "Well, I've got sciatic nerve. I've been for all the, you know, massages and everything, and doctors. I'm on 25 painkillers a day," he was on. And I said, well, would you like me to pray for you? I mean, we see people healed like that with that type of pain quite often. Would you like me to pray for you? And he says, well, I don't believe in Jesus. I'm a Sikh. He says, well, he didn't actually say, I don't believe in Jesus. He says, I believe in everything, and not just Jesus. And I said, tell you what, you believe in everything, but we'll pray to Jesus on this occasion. So would you like me to pray for you? And so he agreed. So he stood up. I got him to stand up. And as he stood up, this big, strong man had tears coming down his eyes. And I prayed for him. And I asked, I said, pray this prayer. Lord, healing belongs to me because of what you've done. Because of the cross, I receive my healing. And I prayed for him. And I said, healing belongs to you because of the cross. Because of what Jesus done, receive your healing. And I said, how does it feel now? And he says, it doesn't feel any better at all. I said, that doesn't matter, we'll pray again. And I got him to pray the prayer again. Healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. Because of the cross, I receive my healing. And I said, healing belongs to you because of what Jesus has done. Because of the cross, receive your healing. How does it feel? Heal now. And he says, it doesn't feel any better. So I prayed again. I must have prayed about 7 or 8 times. And he didn't get any better at all. So I wrote the prayer out. I said, right, I'm going to give you this like a doctor's prescription. I want you to pray it regularly after I've gone. So I got in the car and I said, Lord, heal this man. And I left him in pain with tears coming down. So literally, tears were coming down his eyes. 1 week later, we were having tea. It was a Thursday. Having tea with my kids and family. The telephone rang. It was about 6 o'clock. I picked up the phone. It was the garage guy. And he said, Mr. Richards, I just wanted to phone to say thank you for praying for me last week. I woke up the following morning and all the pain had gone. I waited a week to make sure it was real. Smart guy. Well, I went back there a few months later. He's still healed. So, get it out of the meeting. There's a special connection. Right. Any follower of Jesus can do this. Now, I really want you to get this. Come on. Get this. This, it's by grace. Now, there's two things that stop us moving in healing. One, we're cowards. That's the one thing. I'll say it again. We're cowards. We're frightened. What if God doesn't heal? What if I look stupid? Oh, could I have the courage to say, hey, you look like you're walking with a limp. Can I pray for you? And we don't do it. That, you know, we're not going to see people healed unless we invite, can I pray for you? Got to get over our fear. I can't do anything about that. You just got to repent. Is that okay? So I can't do anything. I can't do that. I can't. Teaching is not going to get the fear out of you. You just got to do it. Not wimps and shrimps and those with limps. Men and God for Jesus. Got to get over our fear and be courageous and have courage and stop worrying about our own lives. I mean, it's not like we're going to be stoned or anything. We're just going to say, no, you're weird. That's all. that's as far as it gets. You know, I can live with that. I'm not beaten up in the streets. So let's deal with that. Get rid of the fear. The other thing is we feel, oh, I'm unworthy. Somehow, I got to be this spiritual man of faith. If I come to a certain level of spiritual maturity, I mean, if there is such a level, I mean, goodness sake. If I'm holy and pure and never sin and read my Bible every day and worship for 40 minutes and walk in the presence of the Lord, then God will use me. I'm going to come to this place where I'll be used for God. No, it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. It is not because you're spiritual or you're holy or you're clever or you're just aware that you haven't sinned this day. Listen, I have broken the greatest commandments, even before I've had breakfast. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and your neighbour as yourself. If you're anything like me, I'm a night person, not a morning person. I wake up grumpy. Sometimes I let her sleep, but mostly I wake up... No, it's a joke. I wake up grumpy, right? I'm a morning person. I'm not a morning person, right? So this is what happens. I'll wake up. You don't really want to... you don't really want to talk to me first thing in the morning. I don't want to be... I'm not very conversational. So I'm not really in a loving, feely, touchy type of mood first thing in the morning. I can wake up in the morning and I am not loving my wife, my kids, my cat, my dog if I had one, let alone my neighbour. The fact is I don't love my neighbour as myself ever. I'd like to, but I don't. Why? Because I'm fallen. I'm a sinful man. There is something in me that is consumed with myself. I am the center of the world. I don't like that fact, but thank God for forgiveness. Who do you think most... Who consumes most of your thoughts, most of your time? It's your world. It might be your exams. It might be your job. It might be your challenges. It might be your toothache or your earache. Think how we compare to Jesus when he was hung on the cross in absolute agony. He wasn't saying, can I have a paracetamol? He was actually saying, forgive them for what they're doing. He wasn't consumed with his own agony. He was consumed with their spiritual condition. Oh. So in the light of that, I am never holy. That's why it's grace. And so Paul says in the book of Galatians, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles amongst you because you have kept the law or because you believed what you've heard? It's because you believe what you heard. So can I just say this? Two things that stop people healing. One, it's fear. And second, primarily, I'm not good enough. Am I communicating? God will heal through you and it's got nothing to do with your spirituality. You will be surprised. Let's put it this way. If you happen to get in a great conversation and you share Jesus with somebody, and you hadn't prayed for a month, in fact, you've got a real bitter attitude, in fact, you just know you're not in the right place with Jesus, but somehow in the grace of God, you get into a conversation without Jesus and you tell them about Jesus and the power of the gospel does their work and they say, what must I do to be saved? You say, well, that shouldn't happen. I'm in a bad place with God right now. But you say, well, you've got to repent and believe in Jesus Christ and you share with them a prayer that they can pray and they pray a prayer of repentance and faith in Christ. Will God not forgive them and not save them because you're not in a good place with him? Why is that? Because it doesn't depend on you. It's grace. And the healing is exactly the same. You see, I am not the healer. Christ is. It's all of grace. It doesn't depend upon me. Now, I'm not using that as an excuse to live a compromising, unholy, lackadaisical, hang-loose mother goose type of life. You know, if you really understand grace, this is the thing about grace. If you really understand it, you are so grateful that you want to live a careful life. That's the mystery of grace. Grace empowers you to live a life that is careful before the presence of God. The law provokes sin. The law was given that the trespass may increase. So the more we try and live by rules, regulations, try harder and law, don't do that, I must try, whether it's a quiet time law, a reading your Bible law, a worshipping 40 days a week law, the more we turn spiritual disciplines into law, do you know what it does to you? It provokes your sin. But the more I understand it's free and it's grace and it's mercy and it's unconditional acceptance and I can't do anything to win God's approval. I can't do anything to win God's approval because I'm approved in Christ. The more I understand that and it really penetrates in my heart like a revelation, the more careful I live for God. The more I want to give my life away. The more I want to lay my life down. That's the power of grace. It's a mystery. Law provokes sin, but grace causes me to live for Jesus. Isn't that a mystery? Yes, it's a strange mystery. I wish I had time to talk to you about living by grace and faith and not by law and ritual. I wish I had time to unpack Romans and Galatians with you that you may live a new life and it's not by effort, it's by rest. I wish I had time. Because most churches don't understand the gospel. We think it's a gospel. My past sins have been forgiven. And now I've got to try really hard. And so it's mix and match. Past sins and me trying. That's past sins and law for my future. No, I'm saved by grace. And I live in the present by grace, and I pursue my future by grace. It's a mystery. That's why Paul was so misunderstood. And Martin Lloyd-Jones says, unless you preach grace to the point where you can be misunderstood, you haven't really preached it. Isn't this fun? That's got nothing to do with healing, apart from the fact I want you to say you can pray for the sick and you don't have to be a mighty man of faith and power to do it. I really want to, this is for everyone. So, Tammy, who's one of the girls in our church, she's got a condition where she's got a genetic muscular disorder. She has to wear straps every single day just to help her walk. She can't clean her own house because it wears her out. She's got children, she's married, so she has a cleaner. One day the cleaner comes to her house, and the cleaner had fallen down a stairs the day before. So she comes into a house all trussed up, can't move like that. But she turns up for the cleaning job because she's self-employed and she needs the money. Tammy says, we pray for people like this in our church. Would you like me to pray for you that your pain will be relieved and you can get on with your job without pain? She prays for her. She gets totally and completely healed immediately. Donna then comes on an alpha course. She gets baptized, joins the church. Tammy turns up to me and says this, Julian, if God can use me, who we've prayed for time and time and time again in church, and she hasn't been healed, and she's got a genetic disease that has not been healed, and she is disabled. If God can use me to heal the sick, quote, he can use anyone. And she was right. You might be sick, and God will still use you. And it's by the grace of God, because it doesn't depend upon you and me. And I want to make that really clear. Don't think for one moment, as we move into healing and we see people healed and stuff, don't think for one moment it depends upon me or any of us. It's Jesus. And it's not because we're super Christians. It's grace, 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 grace. So you can do it. Does that help? I hope so. Prepare. Now, this is a key. To prepare the heart for healing. I've noticed something. Sometimes I've prayed for non-Christians and Christians alike, and I've said, look, let me pray for you in pain, and I've just gone straight into it, and it's like water going off a duck's back, and they don't get healed. And I've noticed then, when I stop a moment and prepare people's hearts by maybe telling them a few healing stories, faith arises within them, and then when I pray for them, they get healed. There is something about the preparation of the heart, the ignition of faith, and healing. I haven't got all the answers. I'm not making a big theological statement, it's just something I've observed. So, tell stories about people you know of, or have seen, or have heard of, who have been healed. If you haven't got your own story, steal somebody else's. If you can't steal somebody else's, tell stories about Jesus in the Bible. Tell stories. Now, the Bible, the Gospels, were written that we may have faith in the Son of God. Agreed? What basically are the Gospels? The Gospels are a series of stories that Jesus has done. As we talked about in the last session, God blesses what he does. This is why your testimony is so powerful. When you share what God has done in your life, it's what he has done, therefore his spirit comes upon what he has done in your life and he blesses it. That's why it's important not to exaggerate it, and it's important not to underestimate it. So we tell a healing story. We don't want to tell it more than it is, and we don't want to tell it less than it is. But as we tell our story and tell healing stories, God says in heaven, oh, I did that. And he blesses what he has done, and it produces faith within the heart. The story of what God has done produces faith. Stories of what Jesus did in the Gospels produce faith in your heart. Stories of what we have seen Jesus do today and yesterday and the day before produce faith in the heart because they're still the works of God that he blesses. And as you tell stories, it might be just one or two, quick and simple, that's why I'm sharing a few for you today, it will produce faith in people's hearts. Then when you pray for them, their hearts are prepared and open. And I have noticed that if you prepare people's hearts, then pray, somehow faith is ignited and healing begins to work. But if you just go straight in there when their hearts are cold and not provoked by faith, you can pray till the cows come home and nothing seems to happen. Yeah? It's very simple. Just take a little bit of time to tell the stories. Now, encourage an attitude of receiving. Just don't, often when we pray for people, we say, let me pray for you, lay hands upon them. You better? No. You better? No. And the patient, for want of a word, is passive. It's much better, actually, if you can get people in a receiving mode, because they have to receive the healing. So I encourage people, non-Christians as well, just to say a simple prayer. So last week, for example, or this week on Tuesday, when I was across the room from this girl, and she had this ear infection, I said, put your hand on your ear and pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, heal me now. Lord Jesus, heal me now. Or, Lord Jesus, I receive my healing. And I say, Lord, receive your healing now in Jesus' name. And as you get people to pray a prayer from themselves, they're opening their hearts up. They're putting their spirit into receiving mode. It's an act of faith. And as you do that, you often find that healing, the transaction of healing is released because they are doing something. You often find that Jesus in the Gospels asks people to do something. Take up your mat and walk. Or spit. Go, make mud, put it on the eyes, now go to the pool of Siloam. Whether it's put your hand on your hip and say, I receive my healing, or move 2 paces to the right, or go to the pool of Siloam, they are actually doing something that is an act of faith in cooperation with God who wants to heal them. And it puts their attitude in receiving mode. So I would encourage you to just do that. And the simple way is just say, you know, put your hand on your shoulder, and say this prayer, I receive my healing. A little prayer that I've encouraged our church to pray, which is a really useful prayer because it's so theologically sound, is that this belongs to me because of what Jesus has done, because of the cross, I receive my healing. And it's a bit like the prayer of salvation. You know, it's not a formula, it's just a way to engage with God. It's a bit like a liturgy. It's a prayer by which you can exercise and express your faith. Healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. Because of the cross, I receive my healing. Healing belongs to you because of the cross. Receive your healing. And I've encouraged the church to learn that. Not as a formula, but just as a simple stepping stone. It's a bit like the prayer of salvation. I repent of my sins. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart and forgive me. Yeah, you don't pray that as a formula, but as a stepping stone to faith. And what happens when simple people pray it? They get saved, don't they? And when we just come to Christ with a simple prayer that expresses faith in the cross, faith in his power, what he wants to do, it's a stepping stone of faith for me to be healed. And I'll pray for people several times. So the next thing I want to say is pray more than once. I'm rabbiting through this so we can get and do some healing. Pray more than once. When Jesus spoke to the blind man, and he says, he prayed for him. He says, can you see anything? He says, yeah, I am blind, but now I can see people and they're walking around like trees. It's a bit blurry. He goes, oh, well, never mind. Off you go. No, he prayed again. And the second time, he had full sight. Jesus says to disciples concerning the lost coin, the parable of the lost coin and the woman and the unjust judge, it's prefaced by this. He gave these parables to teach his disciples that they should pray and not give up. Why on earth do we think that in every aspect of prayer we know that persistent prayer pays off and yet it doesn't happen with healing? Why do we not apply that truth to healing? I've often found that healing is a process because we're journeying people into connection with God and it's a process. So I'll often say to somebody, maybe they got a hip condition or something, and I say, how is it now after prayer? And they say, oh, yeah, I'm not quite sure. I think it's a bit better. And I'm encouraged to be honest. And I say, well, what would you say? I mean, is it 10% better or 20%? No, oh, yeah, about 5%. And I say, well, that's great. Let's pray again then. And we pray again. I say, how is it now? Well, it's about the same. Okay, we'll pray again. How is it now? Oh, actually, I would say it's about 15% now. I say, well, let's pray again. How is it now? And often, after 2 or 3 times, you often find a leap. Of course, about 80% better now. You often find that after about 3 times or something like that, it's a leap. Oh, it's about 80%. So come on, let's go for it. I had a lady who came up to me not so long ago. She said, would you pray for me? Well, she didn't say that. She said, do you pray for people who have detached retinas? And I said, well, what happens? She's flying back from the States. The air pressure caused her retina to touch. She became blind in one eye. Went to the doctor. She said, this will be months before it's better. And she couldn't see. So I got her to pray this prayer and prayed with her and said, how is it now? She went, oh, it's 98% better. Thanks very much. She went to walk off. I said, well, why go when it's 98% better? I said, come back. And we prayed again. She got totally healed. Totally healed. Because when Jesus died upon the cross, he said, it is finished, paid in full. Now, sometimes you do leave people with 80% or 90%, and you say, you know that little prayer we've been praying? And you don't have to use those exact words, but it is prayer to Jesus. Keep praying it like a doctor's prescription. And you know what to do now. You know God can do it because you've been on a journey. Keep moving in prayer and faith. And maybe tomorrow or next week or next month, you'll journey into your full healing. In the same meeting, a fella came up to me and said, my wife has sent me over to you. He came very reluctantly. He said this. He was a Welsh farmer type guy. He says, do you pray for people with piles? I said, well, I'll pray for your piles. He said, you don't do the laying on of hands, do you? And I was in one of those really naughty moods. I said, no, I do what Jesus did. I spit. He wouldn't let me pray for him. No, seriously, he just wouldn't let me. He's a bit embarrassed. So, anyway. But these farmers are rich, you know. And if you're a farmer and you've got piles, it's rich but very uncomfortable. Piles of gold, that is. Anyway, rich but uncomfortable. Right. I'm joking. I know, a terrible joke. I get told off at home. My kids, they, you know. Yeah, I know. Okay, pray more than once. That's the real key, to pray more than once. And when I'm with somebody in a cafe or a restaurant or wherever I see them out there from the meeting, I'll spend a little bit of time praying with them, and I want to encourage you to do that. Okay, encourage thanks for what God has done. Now, here's another key. Often, people who move from a little bit of healing into total healing are people who acknowledge what God has done and are thankful for it. So if you say, for example, oh, how does it feel now? Oh, if we say, okay, this is an example. What's your problem? I can't do that without pain. Okay, from there to there, it hurts a lot. Oh, really, did it? Oh, yeah, that really hurts. Okay, so that's hurting. So we pray. And we pray maybe once or twice. Now try it. And they can go to there without pain now. They go, no, it's not healed. I can only go to there. No, it's not healed. It's not better. I can go to there. No, it's not bad. I'm not healed. Those people often don't get healed all the way, or it'll regress. But the people who say, actually, yeah, I can do it from there now. I'm better up to there. And they say this, and this is it. They say, thank you. They acknowledge what God has done with thanks. They say, thank you. I acknowledge that. That's great. And they acknowledge what God has done. And they give thanks for what he has done. Then when you pray for them next time, often you'll find it accelerates up to an improvement. Because you're stewarding what God has done. The Bible says, to him who has, more will be given. So if we've received something and we steward it, what does God do? Gives us more, doesn't he? So how do you steward before God healing? How do you do that? Well, you give thanks. That's as simple as that. That's all you can do. I acknowledge what you've done. I give you glory. Thank you. There's nothing else you can do. It's what the lepers did. I give you thanks. So I can, oh, that's fantastic. I can do it up to there now. I can't go up to there. I'm not fully healed. Let's be honest. I really encourage honesty. Oh, yeah, I can't do it up to there, but I can do it to there. Well, say this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Now give me more. And then give me more. And how's it? Oh, I think it's better now. And thanks is a key. Is this practical enough for you? Yeah. Not rocket science, is it? Not brain surgery either. So, give thanks. And encourage continued prayer. Some people will get healed in the process, in that time frame that you're praying with them, other people, it will be over a period of time. I remember going to one lady's house, a health visitor from our church says, would you come and pray for my colleague? She's been off work for ages. She's something wrong with her joints and her bones. I don't know what the problem was. But I said, yeah, we'll go to her house. She was off work. And when I walked into their room, she was lying on the couch and she was all gnarled up on the couch like this. And this is the thought that went through my head when I walked into that room. I said, if this girl doesn't get healed, this thing is going to kill her. I mean, she was all gnarled and twisted, and she had cushions underneath her hips and her joints because the slightest movement hurt her. So I got her, I said, will you stand up, please? And it took her ages to stand up. She was absolute agony. And eventually she stood up, she was all gnarled and twisted, and she couldn't move, and it took ages and ages to stand up. And we prayed for her, and it took about half an hour. But after about half an hour of just praying back and forth, she was in the kitchen making us a cup of tea. Her father was peering outside through the room because he was in the garden. He was gobsmacked. But she wasn't completely healed. She wasn't completely healed. She still had a little way to go. You know, she was vastly improved. I mean, now she had mobility. She said, I'll tell you what, we'll come back next week. So I said, encourage you to keep praying this prayer. So I gave her, you know, encouraged her to pray the prayer and keep connecting with Jesus. A week later, we turned up to the house, knocked on the door, there's no answer. The girl's back in work. And she turns up, she's late, so she's back in work. She's had so much improvement day after day that she's actually back in work. And then she comes in and we continue to pray for the remaining effects of this condition. And now I often see her down the street, walking along the Mumbles Mile with her dog. And I saw her the other day walking down the road. And I said, to see that girl there, that girl was in such a condition, I thought she was going to die unless she got healed. And now you just would never know that she is like that. But continued prayer is a very important feature of healing. So let's not say it's one size fits all and it just happens in the moment, but we're on a journey of faith and we're all at different stages with it. But there is a special connection with non-Christians and healing. So is there anybody here... Let's put some of this into practice and then you're going to do it. Is there anybody here, maybe, let's see, their cuff shoulder is in pain as I speak? Anybody? You've got a shoulder pain. Now, this has been helpful because we've got an instant healing, we've got a partial healing, and we've got one on the journey. And those are all the scenarios that we covered in our teaching. And that's the way it goes. Right. Who is there anybody? Now, so I'm going to get you to do this. A word of knowledge. Let me just teach you about a word of knowledge really quickly. All right? And then we're going to go for tea after I've given people a chance to pray. One simple starting place to get words of knowledge. You can give you a picture in your mind or a sense in your spirit. But this is... Words of knowledge for dummies, right? This is the starting place. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're in a meeting, or you're in the shop, or you're in Tesco's, or there's a crowd of people, and you say, Lord, is there anybody here you want to heal? Show me their condition in my body. And you feel, oh, a pain. That's how I got the word of knowledge with the shoulder. Three people here with shoulder. And I said, who do you want to heal this afternoon? And I felt a slight pain there. Didn't last very long, I just felt it. And so there you go, bang. And so is there anybody you want to heal? And you might sense, so the left knee, mid-shoulder, back here. And if that's you, we'll get you to stand up in a minute, okay? So, just you say, Lord, is there anybody you want to heal? Right, so let's all stand together. We'll stand. And I'm going to release the Holy Spirit upon you. And I want you to pray in your own heart, Lord, is there anybody you want to heal? And reveal that pain in my body. And even if it's slight, just make a mental note of it. Are you with me on this? Right, close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I release your presence now across this congregation in Jesus' name. And I release the gift of knowledge through physical feeling in the body of Christ. I release the revelation of sickness in this body, in Jesus' name. I release it now. Now pray this prayer. Lord, use my body and reveal in my body who you want to heal. Now listen to your body, what you feel, and just capture it. Just make a mental note of it. Right, sit down. Okay, sit down. Right, who felt something in their body? Put your hand, don't be shy. What did you get?